Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will be going to your calls live in just a few moments. Again, the number to dial is just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I want to make a brief comment about the Christian Research Journal. It is absolutely stunning. I'm talking about this particular issue, fresh off the press. One of the articles, By a Millennial, For Millennials, is titled From the Mind of a Millennial, How Did We Get Here, and How Do We Make It Better? It's written by Brittany Bland. She has recently graduated from California Polytech with a BA in political science and is currently working on a career path to educate church laypersons about how the political process works. Again, an absolutely brilliant article by Brittany. Obviously, I can't read the article on air, but let me just excerpt a couple of statements that she makes. She says that millennials are fighting a war. They are often ill-equipped to fight. We are told by the Apostle Paul to put on the full armor of God, and by Peter to always be ready to give a defense. And these are necessary instructions. The strategy for doing this, however, needs to change as the environment changes. We are in open conflict, and we have come late to the battlefield. The church has become synonymous with racism, misogyny, bigotry, ignorance. In short, we are losing the culture war. Reaching millennials is a complex proposition. My experience with my peers was full of contradictions. My lost friends were both curious about the world and yet closed off to any serious discussion about Christianity. She goes on to say, our struggle is to be salt and light in a world actively trying to mold us into being like everyone else. So arm yourself with the teachings of Christ. Root yourself in a body of believers. This war cannot be won by a cursory knowledge of our faith, nor without the faithful backing of a Christian church. There are challenges ahead, but with God, all things are indeed possible. Again, from the mind of a millennial, how did we get here, and how do we make it better? The article, absolutely brilliant, but it's just one of many articles that are must reading. You'll find it in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, available for those who support the ministry all this month. The cover story, Jesus in Islam, the contrast there between the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, and Muhammad, who married one of his wives when she was just 6 years old and consummated the marriage when she was nine. The distance between Christ and Muhammad is an unbridgeable chasm. Well, we're going to go right to the phone calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Stephen first in Overland Park, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Stephen.
Hi. Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good, good. My question is, in Genesis, God, when he had the flood, why didn't he destroy the sea creatures as he did with the land animals and humans, as he described in Genesis 6-7. Now, I kind of kept thinking about it all day, and what I began to think about now is maybe it's an illustration of God's sovereignty and his view on election, doctrine of election, just as he can choose who he decides to be saved. Maybe this is an illustration of these animals that he chose to put on that boat, on the ark, and even the sea creatures that he chose not to even destroy. Could that be an illustration of God?
Well, there are likely a lot of creatures that God did not destroy, but you're absolutely right in saying that he did not destroy the sea creatures. But the biblical text is not designed to communicate whether the flood was global with respect to the earth or universal with respect to humanity. I think that debate is ultimately settled by a proper reading of the book of nature. And you have to remember that civilization was largely confined to the Fertile Crescent at that time. So we need not automatically presume that the floodwaters covered the globe. For example, by way of illustration, when the Bible tells us that the whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart, very few people would suppose that this includes Aborigines from Australia or indigenous people from the Americas. So one thing we can be certain, the text of Scripture, both old and new, communicates the reality of a great flood in which only a few people, eight in all, were saved. But the text itself says nothing whatsoever about destroying the sea creatures, nor, again, as I said, is there any warrant for suggesting that God destroyed everything, because we simply don't know from a biblical standpoint that the flood was universal. Or global with respect to the earth. We know that it was universal with respect to humanity. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Amarel in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi.
Hey, Hank. Thank you. I've called you a few times, and it's very appreciated. I've been going through a bit of a darker time right now. I struggle with mental health issues. I've been diagnosed either as a schizophrenic or a schizoaffective. But what's really difficult is that all my episodes are usually very tied into my salvation and wondering if I'm saved. And even, just like there's a scripture that, we receive the righteousness of Christ when we believe in Him. And so sometimes I feel like because everybody says they sin every day, then I wonder, well, maybe did God remove His Spirit from the earth? Has the gospel been preached to everybody? Has He already, And I know you don't, I guess I'm just looking for how do we know that we're still living in a time when Christ is with us, and how can I get a sense of His presence in me and, when I'm struggling to feel it?
What are you doing in terms of your Christian walk? Are you participating in a body of believers? Are you taking the sacraments on a weekly basis? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you praying? I mean, these are all means by which we participate in the nature of God, not by ontology, not by the way that we're constructed, but by His grace. We become what He is by nature, but we have to partake of His graces. So we shouldn't be static in the idea that, well, I prayed a prayer and I should be in and worry about it, but we ought to participate in the graces that God has given us so that we can be deified, we can become partakers of the divine nature.
Okay. I do. I go to church. I read the Bible more than anybody that I know. I sort of pray. I try, man, but I still struggle with this stuff. And I feel like the Christian life is supposed to be one of celebrating our union with Him. It's not supposed to be all about trying to get closer to Him and feel closer to Him. Like, it should be.
But that's how you celebrate your union with Him.
Feeling.
That is how you celebrate your union with Him. I mean, that's the whole point. And I think you're uncovering something very important here. It's not just about Christ dying so that you will go to heaven. That is true. But it is so that you can have life and have it to the full. But again, that is a function of communicating with the very one who saved you, partaking in the graces that He offers you so that you can be a participant or a partaker of the divine nature, as Peter puts it. And when you do those things, then you see that, as in Philippians, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion, that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault, and that the Holy Spirit within you is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, all of which are biblical passages that underscore the assurance that we have that if we partake of the divine nature, which we are called to partake of by grace, then we will have a sense of the infilling of Christ. So Christ empties himself so that you can be filled with his presence. And again, the Holy Spirit is an earnest of that within you. So if you partake of all of the means of grace, it does not mean that there won't be times of doubt. There are. I have those times myself. And that's why I think apologetics is so important, because apologetics is not just giving an answer to someone who is doubting or an answer as a springboard for sharing the gospel, but when you yourself have the winds and waves of doubt beat upon the house of your faith, you can go back to those essentials. God created the universe, Jesus Christ is God, and the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin.
It's all that. I mean, I have never doubted God and the reality of him. It's just my place in him that I worry about from time to time. But I understand what you're saying is partake of all the graces he has provided.
Yeah, not the least of which is the Lord's table. Remember the importance of that. Jesus Christ said that if you eat my body and drink my blood, you have life. If you don't, you have no life in you. So you want to partake of the means of grace. And there are many examples that could be given, but I don't think anything more central than the body and blood of Jesus Christ. This is something that Luther stressed over and over again during his earthly ministry, but it preceded him. The early church fathers were very, very focused on this being the primary means by which we can experience union with God. But you can have confidence. You can know that he hears us whatever we ask. You can know that you not only think you have eternal life, but you can know that you have everlasting life. Jesus Christ has said that. We can know that beyond the shadow of a doubt because his word makes that absolutely plain.
Okay. Hank, I appreciate you taking some time with me, so thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Paul. He's listening in Greensboro, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Hank. I say I'm a big fan. I'm very excited to talk to you. I'm just astounded by your knowledge, your encyclopedic knowledge of everything Christian, and I really appreciate the great work you do. Wanted to call you. I run into recently a couple of instances on social media, folks making the argument, I think, the misplaced argument that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. And even a Christian friend of mine, in the context of the visa or the president's recent extreme vetting of Muslims from these seven countries. And it seems to me that a basic knowledge of the two religions demonstrates that the two, you know, the God of Christianity is vastly different from the God of Islam, and that, you know, we worship a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where the Muslims say that, you know, far be it from Allah to have a son, even. And we're saved by our faith through Christ, by grace through faith. And they have to earn and work for their faith, and they never know, I guess, until they die whether or not scales are balanced in their favor. But, you know, I think this is another, I wonder if you would sort of give me some more thoughts on that, and also your thoughts on how sort of our dedication inclusion is to be undermining even.
You're kind of cutting out. I don't know exactly what the last part of the question was, but I think as we have demonstrated over and over again on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Allah of Islam is not the God of the Bible. I actually have an entry on that particular question in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated also in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Jesus in Islam is the cover story, and there's a contrast between the Jesus of the Bible and the Jesus in Islam. For example, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, in Islam you have committed the unforgivable sin of shirk. And by the way, Allah in Islam does not even comprehend the biblical Trinity. It's got the persons of the Trinity all mixed up. We'll be right back.
Jesus is the most enigmatic figure in the Muslim sources. While the Quran reduces Jesus to a mere messenger of Allah, Jesus is astonishingly unique within Islam, as his titles, virgin conception, miraculous works, and future role set him apart even from Muhammad. In the article Jesus in Islam, featured in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, David Wood explores why the uniqueness of Jesus makes perfect sense in Christianity. But Muhammad's teachings leave us wondering, why is Jesus so radically different from everyone else? To receive your copy of the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal, including the article Jesus in Islam, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. What is one of the greatest lies in the history of the world? That Islam is a religion of peace. To suggest this goes against all that is politically correct and fashionable in the Western world today. Yet truth has always been divisive, and if we don't wake up, the long-term consequences could be unthinkable. That's why we're offering They Say We're Infidels, On the Run from ISIS with Persecuted Christians in the Middle East by Mindy Bells. To be a Christian in Iraq and Syria is to live in mortal danger. Churches are bombed, pastors murdered, children kidnapped. Receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
To be a Christian in Iraq and Syria is to live in mortal danger. Churches are bombed, pastors murdered, children kidnapped. They Say We Are Infidels by Mindy Bells gives you the facts and real-life stories from persecuted Christians who live on the run from ISIS in the Middle East. To receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I'm going to be speaking at the Now More Than Ever Global Impact Conference on Sunday, February 26th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm speaking on Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion. I look forward to seeing those that can make it there. All that happening again on the 26th of February, and the topic of my conversation soon to be coming out as a book. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Doug in Liberty, Kansas. Hi, Doug.
I was just wondering, I thought that, John the Baptist said, repent for the kingdom of is at hand. That means we can do it now. We can bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Well, yeah, in a sense, I would say that's true. We are co-consummators of the kingdom. The kingdom started small. It was prefigured by Christ as a mustard seed, but it becomes large, so large that birds can nest in its branches. And so the Lord is using an illustration to say that the kingdom, which starts as a grain, fills the earth. Daniel used a similar illustration, a rock cut out of the mountain fills the earth. So we are co-consummators of Christ, and we are the ones that are privileged to do the very thing that we have been called to do, and that is to disrupt Satan's kingdom. We're called to be those who are announcing that the king has landed in disguise and is calling us all to a great campaign of sabotage. Again, the sabotage is the sabotage of Satan's world.
Okay, so you believe the kingdom of heaven on earth someday?
Well, absolutely, because this universe is going to be transformed. It now groans. It is awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8. And in Revelation chapter 21, we read that God himself will be with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Paradise lost is bound to become paradise restored. We will once again eat, as it were, from the tree of life, and we will be fully filled with Christ and relate to the Anthropos, the God-man, in a renewed universe.
So you believe in a predestination? Everything is just happening. There's no plan B. Everything's happening exactly the way God planned it.
Well, I don't believe in fatalistic determinism as the philosophical naturalists do, that everything is a function of brain chemistry and genetics and you have no choice. No, I believe that the choices that we make really do matter. And certainly, as the scripture makes plain, we choose our path, but God directs our steps. There's an antinomy, there's a tension there. But what we do really does make a difference, and therefore we are called to make a difference while there is yet time.
Oh, okay. So you think, like Adam and Eve, if the parents are sinless, then the children will be born sinless?
Well, the parents are not sinless. We're all born with a broken gene, and every single person has ratified that in thought, word, and deed. But God created humanity in such a way that they were able to choose to worship him and experience deification or fall for Satan's ruse, that you can self-deify, that you on your own account can become as God is. And Adam and Eve, they ate the forbidden fruit, as it were. They bit into the lie, And as a result of that, they fell into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death. And every single human being from that time on has been born with a broken gene.
But originally, we were supposed to be born sinless, just like Adam and Eve, right?
Well, Adam and Eve, yes, but Adam and Eve had a potential for evil. God creates humanity with potential for evil. If he hadn't created us in that way, there would have been no such thing as love. Everything would have been coerced, and God does not create humanity such that love is coerced, because were it coerced, it would be meaningless.
Oh, so God is both good and evil.
No, God is not good and evil. God creates the potential for evil, which is to say that God does not create evil, as some would have it, but God creates the potential for evil, and that potential is created by volitional beings who can choose to follow Christ or choose to do otherwise, choose to follow God or choose to do otherwise.
So you thought... Do you think Lucifer saw that God loved Adam and Eve more than him? Not less, but he saw a greater love over there, and he wanted to possess that. So that's the reason he fell. He wanted Adam and Eve because God loved them more, but God didn't love Lucifer less.
Yeah, well, I think that's completely ad hoc. I mean, the thing that we know is that Lucifer was created a volitional being, chose worship for himself, but there were many, many angels that did not follow him in that self-worship and rather continued to worship God. Again, they were volitional. They could fall with Satan or they could continue on in what they were designed for, and that is the worship of God. And this is the very thing that we're designed for. In fact, we're not only designed for the worship of God, but we're also designed to be brought into the fellowship of the Trinity, which is an absolutely exquisite belief. The fact that we can have fellowship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, that we were created for that very purpose. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Keith in St. Louis, Missouri. Keith is listening on KSIV. Hi, Keith.
I was going to ask a question about the Episcopal Church, which the new Supreme Court justice appointed was supposedly associated with. So I'll hang up and listen if you don't mind. Thank you, Hank, please.
What's that? I'm not following what the new Supreme Court judge. Yes, I'm not sure what the question was, but Neil Gorsuch, and he attends a Episcopal church, and his career has been characterized by an intellectually robust conservatism. He is, by any standard, a first-rate lawyer and a judge, and we have every reason to believe that he will be faithful to the Constitution. Congress, of course, writes the laws, so that's not the job of the courts. And he does reflect Antonin Scalia's legacy of interpreting legal texts as their words were originally understood. I'm hoping I addressed the question, which sort of got cut off in midstream. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Abe in Petersburg, Virginia. Hi, Abe.
Hey, the Lord bless you and continue to raise you up. My question was, how do you feel about my assertion that this whole homosexual agenda in the United States that was rising up was like Sodom and Gomorrah trying to rise up from the ashes? And when Donald Trump became president, he was sort of like God's call and another chance for Lot, meaning all people, to be like Lot and come out and bring their families and their wives and their children out. And I say that because I believe it's in Daniel, it speaks about God allowing to determine who will have power or be a ruler. And I see that Donald Trump, not perfect, but as a chance to overturn some of these things that were straight out of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, I think what's really interesting about all of this is a re-examination of how important the ballot box is, and a recognition that while it is necessary, it is not sufficient. Which is to say, even during the Reagan years, when there was a conservative revolution, the culture continued to devolve. And we see that same thing happening in our culture. There's a devolution of culture at its very bedrock. And so the fact that we have a respite with respect to Donald Trump in the eyes of many, many conservatives does not mean that there isn't a huge job to be done vis-a-vis the culture. The culture is continuing to devolve. It's going in a very, very bad direction. And the problem here is not pagans being pagans. As I've said many, many times, it is Christians aren't being Christians, which is to say we're called to be salt and light. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how's it going to be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And we are called to be the light of the world. You don't put a light under a bushel. But many Christians have been doing just that. And I mean that they're not able to give the answers that are necessary to those who are questioning the validity of the Christian worldview. They're not able to counter effectively why same-sex sexuality, for example, is detrimental to the culture, or why fluid notions of gender are detrimental to people. And when we're unable to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect, the world seems to think that there is no answer. So the real issue becomes Christians taking seriously what their job description is, and that is those who are salt and light in the culture, ready to give an answer. And then I think it's really important to be biblically literate as well. Many Christians, unfortunately, are reading the Bible in a way that is very, very deflective and actually exacerbates the problems of many, including millennials, in our culture, thinking that the Bible's outdated. So we need to be able to properly give an answer by properly communicating what the Bible in fact is saying, which in essence means that we know how to read literature, particularly when it comes to divine-inspired, infallible literature. Talking not about the translations, of course, but the autographa. And we need to be able to counter cults and world religions. In short, we need to be change agents in the culture as opposed to reflections of the culture. I'm going to be back in a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, the answers keep coming in so many different ways. Daily eTruth is one of the ways you can get answers directly to your inbox. Check that out on the web at equip.org. Also, when I come back from the break, the quote of the day. And if you have not yet joined CRI monthly support team, I would urge you to do that. It makes a difference in the lives of people all over the world. You can join CRI's monthly support team online at equip.org. When you do, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. Please be generous as you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Be right back.
The Mormon view of the afterlife is unique and complicated. To engage in fruitful dialogue about the gospel with Mormons, it is important to understand the nuances of their view. And Eric Johnson's article, Mormonism, the Afterlife, and Striving After Godhood, will equip you with exactly that knowledge. To receive your copy of the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, including Mormonism, the Afterlife, and Striving After Godhood, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
Thank you. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. News headlines make clear that Islam is a force to be reckoned with in the lives of hundreds of millions of people around the globe. Islam represents both a threat and a mission field for Christians. To help you meet the challenge, be sure to read two timely articles included in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jesus and Islam by David Wood examines teachings about Jesus from the Quran and addresses the question, why is Jesus so radically different from everyone else, including Muhammad? Then Robin Dale Hathaway explores the question, Islam and Christianity, is a productive dialogue possible? To receive the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Theological differences, historical clashes, and resulting emotional baggage significantly hinder productive dialogue between Christians and Muslims. Even so, many Muslims who become Christian do so because of lofty descriptions about Jesus in the Quran. To receive your copy of the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, including the article, Islam and Christianity, is a productive dialogue possible? Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from the prophetic pen of Oz Guinness. He is a great writer and, as I said, has a prophetic voice in our generation. And he summed it up well, and the quote of the day is as follows by Oz Guinness, "The forces of barbarism are growing uglier by the day, not only externally but internally, from the rising tide of Islamic violence, the degenerating decadence of post-Christian Western secularism, and the evident impotence and disarray of the Jewish and Christian ideas and institutions that once inspired and shaped Western civilization." And Oz Guinness is absolutely correct. Make no mistake. We are at a tipping point in history. And while squarely in the blind spot of the West, Christians in the Middle East face mass genocide. It's one of the reasons I have been recommending the book, They Say We Are Infidels by Mindy Belts. It is available for those who support the ministry all this month. But concurrent with this mass genocide, there's a demographic time bomb that is threatening a Western world seemingly blind to the polygamous rush of migrant Muslims filling the vacuum that is left by aging, dying, and aborted Western inhabitants or natives. And while the West continues to coddle an Islamic time bomb, it is simultaneously cultivating a rash of self-destructive ideals. The legalization and then normalization of polyamory, polygamy, incest, they all follow the same logic as that of abortion and homosexuality. The socially destructive consequences of these trends, says Oz Guinness, are going to reverberate throughout society until the social chaos is beyond recovery. We can only pray that there will be a return to God and a return to sanity before the terrible sentence is pronounced. God has given them over to the consequences of their own settled choices. This is no time for complacency. The biggest fear I have is that Christians are becoming ever more complacent. This is not just about getting our will affected through legislation. This is about the changing of hearts and minds, the changing of culture. And that is what we are called to do in just such a time as this. And that's why we ask people to stand with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach, prayerfully and financially. You can stand shoulder to shoulder with us by giving and by praying. And you can do that on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Latasha next in Conyers, Georgia. Hi, Latasha.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. I was calling because I listen to you a lot when I'm driving home from work and stuff. And I just wanted to ask you about what do you think wholeheartedly in reference to what Donald Trump is doing in reference to the immigrants?
Well, I think it's really important that we are very wise and judicious with respect to immigration. I think it's also wise that we consider the plight of Christians who are in regions of the world, particularly in the Middle East, where they're facing mass genocide. And so they're being attacked in the very places that they live. And so they have no safe haven. And for those who want to immigrate, we should open our arms to them. I also think that it's very important to vet very, very carefully those who are coming into the country so that we're able to weed out those who have bad intent. Along with all of this, I think, is the problem of migration without assimilation. And that problem has not been something that we have to hold in conjecture. We don't have to think, well, wonder what's going to happen if we have lots of migration without assimilation, because all you have to do is go to the Netherlands or to France or to Belgium, and you have a living testimony, and many other countries could be mentioned, a living testimony of what that really means for culture. Because remember, in Islam, Sharia is state and state is Sharia. There is no separation between Sharia and state. And if you are an adherent of Islam and you are faithful to Muhammad, as you swear to be, the Shahada is that you put your trust in Muhammad and you put your trust in Allah, who is a figment of Muhammad's imagination. So this is an issue that we ought to take seriously. It's like the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion, as has been well said. So I think to be careful and to vet people that are coming from areas of the world that very, very difficult to know what their background is, where you have a passport-making mills, in place, I think, to be prudent in those areas with respect to those areas of the world, like the Obama administration was, I think is very, very wise. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jose listening in Benning, California. Hi, Jose.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I had a question because my family members, my sister and my brother attend a Pentecostal church by the name of the Potter's House, or well known as the Door Fellowship. And there's just certain things that doesn't line up with the scriptures that they teach. And I would like to encourage them, but they know it's true. And I would like to see what you knew about the scriptures of what's their stance on confronting a teacher or somebody in leadership that may not be teaching according to the scriptures, or maybe twisting the gospel or anything like that. Are they able to confront leadership or somebody that's in charge of the church or something like that, like a teacher or a preacher?
Well, absolutely, and I think to do that with gentleness and with respect is the way in which we should do it. But the precedent for doing it is clearly etched in the pages of Scripture. So we have example after example of the apostles doing just that. Interestingly enough, you even have Paul reproving Peter publicly in Galatians chapter 2, I think it is. And you have Paul rebuking the Corinthians publicly. And you have John rebuking certain people in the church publicly. 1 Timothy 5:20 tells us that those who are in sin are to be rebuked publicly so that others may not take the same path and may heed the warning. And Paul actually names names in the process. So if spiritual cyanide is being communicated publicly, then there ought to be reproof for that. And it should be called out for what it is. Now, remember, we believe at the Christian Research Institute in mere Christianity, as C.S. Lewis put it. Another way of putting that is we believe in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. So on secondary issues, we can debate them without dividing over them. But in the essentials, we must stand firmly for the faith and call out that which is heresy.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Hank, for showing me those scriptures. And your program has helped me a lot. And may the Lord continue to bless your program.
You got it. Thank you so much for your wonderful words. And I want to remind everybody listening in that while our Lord cautioned followers not to judge self-righteously, he also counseled them to make judgments based on right standards. Oftentimes people say, judge not or you too will be judged. Jesus did say that, but Jesus was talking about not judging self-righteously or hypocritically. Jesus exhorted us to judge false prophets whose teachings and behavior lead people astray. And thus, while we are commanded not to judge hypocritically, we are nonetheless called to judge. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Chance, listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Chance.
It's actually Chance. Thank you, Hank.
Chance, nice talking to you.
I just had a question about the gentleman that you talked to earlier. He was, can't remember which state, he had some mental health issues or something like that.
I think it was the first caller today.
What's that?
I think it was the first caller today, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was just looking for further clarification on that, because it kind of made it sound like a little bit to me like as if he wasn't doing enough. Like some things can be, you know, cured through prayer, or all things, I should say, or study enough or going to church enough, which to me kind of doesn't make sense, because we live in the same fallen world that everybody else does. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're not going to struggle with some of the same things. I mean, obviously.
Well, he was struggling with the assurance of his salvation.
Bad things happen to good people all the time.
Yeah, and we weren't talking about that in that context. In that context, we're talking about the fact that he was struggling with his assurance of salvation. So I gave him a number of passages that augment the fact that he who begins a work in us will carry that work on to completion, that we have the Holy Spirit within us as an earnest of our salvation. So I gave him the biblical text, and I also told him that we shouldn't try to go this road alone. We ought to go this road in community. So within the body of Christ, there are people that can help you when you fall, that help you when you struggle. And we should also partake of the means of grace that God has given us to partake of so that we can grow in our relationship with the Lord. So it's a matter of growing in the relationship with the Lord. The more you spend time with a friend, the more that that friend becomes close to you. And when that friend is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence and knit you together in your mother's womb, it is no small thing. So we partake of the means of grace given to us so that we can be assured of our relationship, our fellowship within the Trinity, and the fact that he who began that good work is going to carry it on to completion.
Right, right. And I guess, you know, but I'm also concerned with that too, because as a person that struggles with mental health, sometimes it can be things within the person that's not quite correct that can lead them to things like that.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. That's a good point. And as I've often said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm glad you underscore that once again, is that if you have mental health issues, then you need to seek proper remedy for that. Just as if you had physical health issues, you seek proper remedy for that. So good point. Glad you brought it up. We're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, or I would continue the conversation. But do remember that this program is on the air because of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Standing with us shoulder to shoulder in that battle does make a difference not only for time but also for eternity. Thank you, and I'll be right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Topics include Jesus in Islam. Islam and Christianity is a productive dialogue possible. Begotten of the Father before all ages. The biblical basis of the eternal generation of the Son according to the Church Fathers. Mormonism, the afterlife, and striving after Godhood, and much more. Just call 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. What is one of the greatest lies in the history of the world? That Islam is a religion of peace. To suggest this goes against all that is politically correct and fashionable in the Western world today. Yet truth has always been divisive, and if we don't wake up, the long-term consequences could be unthinkable. That's why we're offering They Say We're Infidels, On the Run from ISIS with Persecuted Christians in the Middle East by Mindy Bells. To be a Christian in Iraq and Syria is to live in mortal danger. Churches are bombed, pastors murdered, children kidnapped. Receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift.
Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.